suitcase from the bank. Cause if you want the best, but you don't ask questions, then brother.
Hello folks, and welcome to the Comedy Corner here on Coast Access Radio 104.7 FM. My name is Graham Stevens, and I really hope that I can bring a smile to your face.
Why do only fools and old cities work? La 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 la.
Hello there, and welcome back. This week we start with an episode of I'm Sorry I'll Read That Again. This one is entitled Dr. Y and the Thing.
And now, here is the long-range weather forecast for the next half hour. A ridge of high hysteria moving north, south, east and west from London will dispel the deep depression now centred over the whole country. It will be mainly funny, with scattered jokes and bright intervals. This is I'm Sorry I'll Read That Again, a half-hour topical heatwave written by several little rays of sunshine and featuring a number of showers. Time now for another look at the wonders of the countryside with our roving naturalist, Lydia Picnic Basket.
Nature lovers everywhere. Well, once again, I've been out and about, peeking and prying into the secrets of Dame Nature, and here I am again to tell you all about what I've been up to with my tape recorder. This morning, I was awoken by the sunlight streaming through the chintzy curtains in my bedroom. So I sprang out of bed, slipped on an old pair of jodhpurs, and fell flat on my face. I dressed, drank my morning cup of tea, and then I was off. Tea always has that effect on me. As I stepped out of my little cottage into the clean morning, I looked up and spotted a tiny house martin nesting in the eaves. Then he spotted me. So, wiping my eye, I set off on my jaunt. Then I changed my mind and set off on my bicycle. The air was full of birdsong. High overhead, the orange-breasted curlew was greeting the new day with his joyful cry. In the hedgerow, the drab Winterton's wren, smallest of British birds, squatted in an empty thimble, adding his plaintive cry to the sounds of the wakening countryside. Pausing only to oil my tape recorder, I continued on my way. As I crossed the field of golden corn, turning its shining face to the morning sun, I seemed to hear a voice calling.
Get out of my ready cornfield, you old bat!
At last, I reached a little lane. At the roadside, I found a tiny clump of primroses forcing their way up through the hard earth. As I stooped to pick a few of the tiny blossoms, my attention was suddenly caught by an old farm labourer with a pitchfork standing behind me. I engaged him in conversation, and he was most forthcoming, till I told him I had a boyfriend in the Navy. But before he left, he came out with one of those deliciously acute pieces of rustic philosophy.
My old granny used to say, if it do rain for 30 days in the merry month of May, then it's practically June. Very boring old woman, my granny.
Continued on my way down the lane, I passed the farmer driving his cows to market, two in the back seat and one in the front. But it was time for me to return, and so I retraced my steps, thinking how much there was to be learned from Dame Nature and her ways. Next week, I shall be telling you how to bring up a Jersey cow, for those of you who've been stupid enough to swallow one.
Ruined my song. I shall never sing again. Not ever. Don't ask me. I shall never sing again.
Once again, we invite you to come back with us into the backwoods of prehistory. Back through the pages of the ages. Back to a golden era of primeval innocence and naivety.
Cosmo, you've got to help me. I've just had a terrifying experience with a peculiar man.
Yeah, what was he like, Thingy?
Well, he was smaller than we are, and he had a high voice, and his whole body was sort of in and out and round and round. What sort of man is that, Cosmo?
Oh, dear, that's not a man at all.
Oh?
That's a woo man.
Ah.
They're called she's.
Ah, Cosmo. What is a woo-man?
Well, how old are you?
2.
All right, then. If you're 2 inches old, you're old enough to know. A woo-man is a person, like a man, only they have babies.
They do what?
They have babies.
What'd you say? Reason.
And what's more, they're lovely and horrible at the same time.
Cosmo, tell me, what are they for, pray?
I told you, having babies.
Cosmo, there's something you're not telling me, Cosmo, isn't there? Cosmo, why are you smiling at yourself like that? Cosmo, why?
Hey, oh, well, I wasn't actually smiling, Thingy. My face just slipped, that's all. No, there is one other thing that women are for.
I know. They're good at slug catching, aren't they?
No.
Oh.
They have the power to make men ill.
Oh.
They've given this horrible illness called love.
So that's what that woman was trying to do to me, eh?
Yeah, well.
That's it. Oh, when I think of it, it was just horrible. Really horrible it was. She got me on the ground.
Good heavens.
And she kept doing things to my mouth.
Oh, no.
I thought at first she was trying to eat me. And I struggled, and we rolled about. And she kept doing things to me, and I was frightened, really frightened.
Oh.
And I was wrong about terrifying experience, because when I come to think of it, it was smashing.
Now, look, Thingy, that was just for the moment. But now you're ill. You have caught love.
Oh, dear. Is love like when I had ingrowing toenails?
Oh, virtually, yes.
Yeah.
Only this is ingrowing toenails of the mind.
Oh, the mind.
When you're suffering from love, you do some very funny things.
What?
Well, for instance, you pick flowers. And instead of eating them like any normal person, you give them to this woo man.
Good heavens. And she eats them?
No. Well, that's a funny thing about it.
she'll just say, "Oh, you shouldn't have."
Oh, I see. Well, I won't offer her the flowers in the first place, then.
Oh, that's just it. You won't be able to help yourself, because you've caught love.
Uh-huh.
And I haven't even mentioned the most horrible symptoms.
What's that?
Like showing off.
Oh, no.
And agreeing with everything she says.
Oh, that's awful.
And worst of all, your inner thingy saying, yes, get her down and roll about. Get her down and roll about.
Yes, that's right. Get her down. Roll,
control,
roll,
control.
I'm sorry, Cosmo. I'm really very, very ill, aren't I? Very,
very
ill indeed.
Very,
yes.
Very ill.
Really ill.
But I've thought of a way of saving you.
Oh, Cosmo, thank you.
Thingy, you mustn't see this woman again.
No, no.
I will see her in your place.
Oh, Tar.
I will catch her, love, instead of you. I know, Thingy, you must think I'm very noble.
And you must think I'm really stupid.
Now, Thingy, I've always told you that when you come across one of life's little mysteries, you mustn't run away. You must advance.
So?
So I'm nobly going out to make advances to that little mystery.
Yeah, selfish devil. Well, ask her if she's got a sister.
At the bottom of the sea. Yo ho ho and a dry martini. A nuclear life is the life for me. We're off an atom. A sailor's life is my ambition. Hunting, shooting, and nuclear fission. Dive to the bottom, boys, and pop out the pipe. Yo ho ho and a dry martini. Yo ho ho and a dry martini. You should see the things we've seen. Down at the bottom. We thought we saw a mermaid, but we really couldn't tell. For she had the tail of a fish, me boys, and the head of a fish as well. Oh,
yo, hey, and down she rises. Way, hey, and down she rises. You should see the thing we've seen. Down at the bottom in a submarine.
The crew is always quarrelling, it's bound to be that way. Cause in a nuclear submarine, we fall out every day.
Think about it, yo-ho-ho and a dry martini. Yo-ho-ho and a dry martini. You should see the thing we see.
In our opinion, the next part of our program is unsuitable for children and those of a nervous disposition. So if you'd like to switch off your radios, we'll let you know when you can turn them on again.
Look, that's not possible, surely. It's not...
It was a joke.
Oh, I'm sorry.
And now we present the most horrifying science fiction story ever broadcast. Dr. Y and the Thing.
My name is Giuseppe Hieronymus, Faith Gloverton Waring, Mainspring Phipps Pems, and I have nothing to do with the story.
But my name is Peter Pott, and I have. The adventure I'm about to describe is so vivid in my memory that it seems it happened only yesterday. In fact, it all began this morning, when I received an urgent message from my old friend, Dr. Y.
Doctor who?
No, Dr. Y.
What?
No, why?
I don't know why.
All right, Dr. Smith. Pausing only to pack a small suitcase into a large suitcase. I hurried away to catch the bus. I wanted a number 14, but couldn't find one, so I caught two sevens instead. Dr. Smith lived in a rambling country house, and in it he had rambled all over the country. When I arrived, the door was open, so I let myself in.
Why?
I don't know.
Ah, I didn't think you knew what you let yourself in for.
That is so unfunny. That is fantastically unfunny. Anyway, in the hall I found the doctor's faithful old manservant, Quasimodo, picking his nose.
Now, let's see. I think I'll wear this one today.
Good morning, Quasimodo. Is the doctor in?
Oh, yes. He's in the greenhouse feeding the dog to the geraniums. But here he comes now.
Hello, Doctor. I got your note and came at once.
Ah, yes, dear boy. Hmm? I must say you're looking in the pink.
Well, I didn't have time to dress, you see.
Never mind, never mind. Come into my laboratory. I've something to show you.
Gosh! What's that?
It's a little invention of mine. Hmm? The time machine. With this, I am going to send you forwards in time to the year 3000 A.D.
Me? Gosh, I mean, I haven't brought a toothbrush.
Then you'll just have to leave your teeth behind.
No, but who'll look after my poor, bedridden, grey-headed old budgie?
Oh, very well, very well. If you won't go, you won't.
I'm sorry to disappoint
you. Sorry? What do you care? What does anybody care? But I'll show them. I'll show them. They laughed at Galileo. They laughed at Newton. They laughed at Einstein. Why won't they laugh at me?
Well, it's partly the lines, but mostly the delivery.
Excuse me, Doctor. There's a Colonel Catamole wants to see you. I can't imagine why, unless he wants a bit of a laugh.
That's enough of that. That's enough of that, Quasimodo. You remember your place, or it's chips for you. Place.
Chips, that's rather good. That is so unfunny. That is fantastically unfunny.
This way, Colonel.
Now, look here, Doctor. I've been sent down by the War Office. Keep an eye on this experiment of yours. A lot of nonsense, if you ask me. Time travel. Rubbish.
What you need, Colonel, is the Eye of Faith.
Eye of Faith?
Yes, it comes between the A and the T. Watch it, Quasimodo.
I say, Doctor, why don't you give the Colonel a demonstration?
What a splendid idea. My granddaughter Prudence has a pet rat, and we can send it forward through time.
Hello, Grandpa. I've been playing cowboys and Indians with Jimmy from next door, but he's run away with all the arrows in his back. It was ever such fun.
Prudence, we'd like to use your pet rat for an experiment, so run and fetch him.
I've got him here. Look.
What an extraordinary place to keep a rat.
His name's Anselmo. Isn't he nice? Say hello, Anselmo. He's a nice rat. I like rats. Do you like rats?
What a revolting looking beast.
Yes, isn't she? But it's the rat. It's the rat that interests us. I'll just put it in the time machine.
Hmm? Gosh, isn't this exciting, Grandpa? I am excited. Aren't you all excited? I am. I'm ever so excited. I think I'm going to be sick.
Now, run along, Prudence, and put on a clean frock for lunch.
All right. Do you want it boiled or fried?
Get out. Get out. Now, Quasimodo, start the time machine.
The time machine has disappeared.
Yes. Yes. It's gone forward in time to the year 3000 A.D.
But this dial says it's 100 million B.C.
What? But this means we've sent it back to the dawn of time before life began. We must bring it back at once.
With one stride, the doctor crossed the room to the controls. He threw... He threw a switch which hit me on the nose. Slowly the time machine began to materialize, and then the door opened and something crawled out. It was horrible. a monstrous, slimy, pulsating mass about 12.5 feet long, with burning, malevolent eyes and 1,000 questing tentacles, slithered onto the floor. Undulant ripples coursed its hideous bulk as it heaved itself, covered in a matted coat of tangled fronds, towards us. It was indescribable.
Never mind, you had a good try.
It's heading for the door. It mustn't get away. Stop it! Stop it! For heaven's sake, stop it!
I wasn't doing anything.
Too late. It's gone.
All right, I admit it. I did it. I Quasimodo altered the dial. But this, I never expected this. What have I done? What have I done?
I think you've turned over 2 pages at once.
Terribly sorry.
We decided that decisive action must be taken. The colonel left the room saying he was going to the lavatory. Though we knew, in fact, he was going to make a phone call. Suddenly.
May I come in?
Who are you?
I'm Mirabelle Corfarthing of the West Crawley Afternoon Times and Advertiser, incorporating the Pig Breeders Weekly.
The Pig Breeders Weekly what?
Cheeky boy. Now, let's have the facts. What I'm after is some human interest.
Well, you don't interest me, Ducky, I can tell you.
Let's join the colonel. He should be able to fill you in.
With a bit of luck.
Ah, there you all are. I've been on to Whitehall and I've got the chief of staff on the phone.
Wouldn't he be more comfortable on a chair? Thank you very much. That's much better. Now, we must stop this story leaking out. So all communications will be sent in waterproof envelopes.
Do you know the whereabouts of this thing?
No. We're combing the countryside. And if that doesn't work, we'll brush it as well. The police are investigating, of course. They did find a lead, but when they followed it up, there was only a police dog at the other end. Now, I must get back to Whitehall. I'm a busy man. I have a whole pile of sandwiches to get through. Goodbye.
I must phone my story to the paper.
The effect of Miss Corsfarthing's article was to spread alarm and despondency over the length and breadth of the country, and up to a height of 30 feet above sea level. Meanwhile, we could do nothing but wait.
Hello? What? Great heavens! Goodbye! The thing has just been seen entering the BBC television center.
Crumbs! If it gets loose in there, it could destroy the whole place.
This is no time for wishful thinking.
Yes.
We must get out there right away.
As we all sped towards our destination at breakneck speed and without a thought for our own safety, for it was only a small bicycle, little did we know what was happening in a studio deep in the heart of the television center.
It was awful.
What was?
That bicycle gag.
You're right.
Where's the thing now, Sergeant?
It's coming out now, sir.
There it goes.
Order your men to open fire.
Oh, yes, nothing like a nice open fire, sir.
No. You fool! Shoot!
The bullets are just bouncing off it.
Doctor, think of something. No, not that. Some way of destroying the monster.
I know. I'll speak to it.
What? You must be mad.
No, I am responsible. I must do what I can.
And so, alone and unarmed, Dr. Smith walked fearlessly up to the thing and spoke to it, quietly and persuasively. What he said, we shall never know, because it ate him. And then, replete, the hideous monster disappeared into the television center, where it was never seen again. Or was it?
You know, the studio audience plays a very important part in a show like this.
Certainly does.
And now, at the end of this program, they are going to help us out by joining in a song. Now, they all seem to be in good voice, and I hope all of you at home will join in too. We'll all sing for He's a Jolly Good Fellow. Are you ready?
Oh, he's a jolly good fellow.
drive. No, please stop. Not now. Please stop. I can't do a thing with them, David. Come and stop them.
Well, we've all had a jolly good laugh and a jolly good sing. Now it's time. Now it's time. Tip.
My mother-in-law, she is so fat that when she walks down the street, she looks like $5 fighting. My mother-in-law, look, will you all please be quiet? Give Bill. I can't stop them.
Stop. Right, stop, Dave. Stop the play.
This has been I'm Sorry I'll Be There Again. It was written this week by John Esmond and Bob Larby, Graham Garden, David Hatch, Eric Idle, Johnny Mortimer and Brian Cook and Bill Oddie. The performers were Tim Brooke Taylor, Graham Garden, David Hatch, Joe Kendall and Bill Oddie. The music was provided by Dave Lee and the show was produced by Humphrey Barclay.
You are listening to The Comedy Corner here on Coast Access Radio 104.7 FM. And that was an episode of I'm Sorry I'll Read That Again, entitled Dr. Why and the Thing. Now here is Hancock's Half Hour, and this one's called Sid James's Dad.
We present Tony Hancock, Sidney James, Bill Kerr, and Kenneth Williams in
Hancock's Half Hour.
Right. Up to you, Bill.
Right. Seven for one. Come to me, seven. You beautiful baby. Come to me.
Six.
One, two, three.
3 houses at £25,000. I'd only get 10,000. I'll fill you the gas works.
You won't. Let's see what you got.
I'll pay £5,000 in Park Lane.
The dark blue one.
Now go on, you do it, I would you. Six.
4 and 3, 6. The financial wizard is for it.
Go on, 7, go on. There we are.
Now, I'll read it. Now, find £4,000 payable to me and Mr. Next 7 go.
No, oh, tell me that, I don't believe you.
No, it's not in the pack, I've doubled them up.
All right.
Now, my girl. Now, come on, boy. Four. On the boot. 1, 2, 3, 4.
Now, well. You have inherited £5,000. Every time you land on chance, you read the card and inherit a small fortune.
Just the way it goes, I mean, what a... I'll look through the window, see who that is.
Yeah. Oh, Sid James. Quick, Operation James. Scramble. You hide the silver, I'll stick the ornaments down. Keep your hands in your pocket.
Oh, I'll have checked now. Check.
Open
up. Well, open the door. I can't get in through the peephole. We don't particularly want the lights of you around here. Be about your business. You love the town of the neighborhood.
Be off now.
You can show for your orphan cart in the front garden.
Orphan cart?
That's me competition trotting, sir.
Are you going to let me in? Or what do you want?
I want to talk to you. No. From past experience, I estimate that the many talks I've had with you have cost me approximately a shilling a word.
Now, send me a telegram, then.
Angeles. I won't keep you long. It's dead urgent, I tell you.
Well, I don't know.
Well, I'll tell you what. As a token of my sincerity, I'll give you back the cigarette box I whipped last time I was there.
Thank you, Sid. That's Jack Whitehouse.
Oh, very well.
Come in.
Thank you. Yes, please.
Oh. Well, don't you give it up?
Cigarette?
Yeah.
New brand, you know. Hancock. I allowed him to call them after me, you know.
Well, when I heard how much Larry got, I thought, get in.
Hey, they're funny looking flags, aren't they? Well, you must realize they're a bit cheaper than the others. They're 20 for 8 cents. The filter tip goes 3/4 of the way up.
All right, I'll try one. You got a light?
Yeah. Well, that's that. I'll finish it. Have another one.
Yeah, I'll put it the other way this time. Makes a better smoke.
Well, now.
Yes?
Now, look. I'm in dead trouble. I'm at my wit's end. You've got to help me, Hancock.
Look, Sid.
We all like you. I'm sorry, I can't hide you anymore. Now, these floorboards have been up and down so many times, we can't get the crease out of the car.
Oh, you got it wrong. I'm not on the run.
Well, what's wrong, then?
It's me dad.
What about your dad?
It's his birthday tomorrow. He's 83, and he's coming down to London to spend a holiday with me.
Well, very nice, too. What's wrong with that?
Well, I can't let him stay with me.
Why not?
Oh, I'm a bit ashamed of it, really, but...
Now, come on.
Well, you see, he kept reading in the papers that I was appearing in court. There was only one thing I could do.
What?
I told him I was a judge.
No, Justice James. How could you lie to your own father like that?
Well, I had to. If he knew what I really wanted, he'd never get over it. So I was wondering if you'd do me a favor, let him stay with you for a fortnight.
You can't. Not your own father. He is looking forward to seeing his little boy again.
Oh, I'll come down and visit him. If he can't stop at my place, you'll wonder who the redhead is. And you'll never believe that light-fingered Louie and Spanish Henry are my clerks to the court. And all those cars coming in and going out, different colors. Now, he's bound to know this is too risky. I can't disillusion the old boy after all these years. He's proud of me. He loves me. Apart from that, he might turn me in. Now, please let him stay with you, Anchor.
Well, if I do, it's not for you, Sid.
It's not for you, it's for him.
Poor old man.
So not a word about me?
You won't find out from me, I promise.
Oh, thanks, Hancock. I won't forget it. I promise I'll never do you again. Until after he's gone.
Thank you, Sid. That's most kind. I knew I could rely on you. Are you a little glassy? Me and Bill will do our best to make the old boy comfortable. I'll tell you what. Let's give him a birthday party tomorrow, and you come round and see him. You'll like that.
All right, then.
Have a stay, you know.
Put the best suit on. Don't come round in that black and white hoop jersey and the sack, will you? Not really judge's gear, is it?
All right, then I'll see you tomorrow, and thanks again. Now look after Dad, won't you? He's all I've got. All right, Sid. Get out.
Well, set on it. There you are, see? Well, good in all of it. Old Sid's got a spark of decency in him after all. I think he's really very fond of his old dad.
He's really grateful to me for doing this. Where's my silver candlestick gone? They were here a minute ago. I left them on the piano next to me gold lame soup.
Oh, but it's dark out. He probably wanted to find his way home.
Come on, William, to work. We've got to get the spare room ready.
Hey, that's my room.
He's not having that.
Yes, he is.
We'll have to make some other arrangement for you.
I'm not sleeping out in the dog kennel again.
Either that or under the floorboard.
Oh, that's all right.
There, it's all
with
the
same. Yes, all
right. Yes, all right.
Yeah, all right. Yeah, all right. Yeah, all right.
Bridge. Well, that's it. He should be quite comfortable now. Let's see if we can drop that a bit. Sheet, blanket, pillow, either down, both down. Oh, yes.
What?
Mattress. Where is it? Come on, the mattress. Miss Sweet, sweet us, slumber deeper. Where is it?
But, Trump, that door kennel is so hard. Listen, he's 83. You can't expect him to sleep on the spring.
Poor old man, he left little curly patterns all over him.
I think it's a towering friendship too far. Putting me out in the dog kennel. I think it's a downright liberty.
But listen, if I get much more of this, I'll cut your biscuits down. Now then, get those pictures off the wall. Thank you, madam.
What an excellent picture.
You ought to be out, study.
Two and six a dozen. I'm better than using this place as a box number.
Oh, no.
Leave them there. They're coming down. Back them in front of him, he'll go into a coma.
We'll put some decent stuff up there for my room. You know, Monica the Glen, Island Chapel. And when did you last see your father?
They don't draw stuff like that these days. They don't draw stuff like that. Of course they can't get the artists to them. Oh, gone are the days of a plate of bananas and an apple. Or fish bones and people with 3 ears these days. I don't know what the world's coming to. I should have been born 100 years ago, me. Much more at home, much more luxury. Don't get time these days. Quick flick through steel and hardware and let me look.
What about the bed?
Oh, yes, forgive me, I was digressing. Yes, well, the mattress is in and the photographs are out. I think we're all set now. Don't forget he's an old man. Be nice to him. Treat him as if he was your own father. No, perhaps not, I know. Just keep out of his way, that'll be best.
That's him, come on, see yourself up. Ma, that's the old national outfit in there.
Oh, are you, Mr. Tony? Are you Mr. Tiny Enkick?
Well, that's near enough, I should think.
You must be Mr. James.
That's right. Oh, Mr. James. Here you are, hold me, bird. Hold you watch me, bird, Clarence. Me toucan.
Oh, how nice.
Yes.
Get him here.
Don't put your finger in the cage. Oh, dear me, now have your finger all like a shot. Got jaws like razor blades, you
know. All right. Bill, come and hold the birdcage. Don't put your...
Don't tell him.
Don't tell him.
Might be a giggle, you never know.
Well, where's the rest of your baggage?
Out here on the steps. Here, where shall I put Errol?
Who's Errol?
It's me goat. Go anywhere without
the animal. Oh, well, I suppose you'd have to go in the dog kennel.
No, he's not.
Yes, he is.
He can't. What about me?
You'll have to move out again. Go with the potting shed. Only got to clear out my Japanese miniatures.
Oh, no, there's all spiders and green flying there.
They won't mind. Only got a fortnight. Now, come on, bring Mr. James back in.
Thank you, very nice. Come on, Percy.
Percy?
It's this donkey.
Oh. Where are we going to put him?
The potting shed.
No!
All right, I know, under the floorboard.
Well, we'll start to see him in a minute as soon as Sidney arrives.
Are you sure he's coming?
Oh, sure. He wouldn't miss his old dad's birthday.
Yes, he's a good boy. He's a judge, you know.
No, I believe.
Oh, yes. His mother and I are a bit worried about him now. He's working too hard.
Really?
Yes, must be very strenuous, his judge work.
We notice every time he appears in court, he has to take holiday afterwards. I remember he was very ill in 1947. 3 years, isn't it? Yes. He went to Devon, stayed on the moors. You know, he sent us a lovely postcard. Lovely big old friend he was staying at. He had a little room all to himself. Very good at the eyes of the season, isn't it? Have you ever seen any of his cases?
Only the ones with the fourth bottles of smuggling.
Wrong cases? No! No, no. Never green, you know. It's not enough proof. It's always hard with policemen when he's in court. It's very difficult.
Yes, oh, I'm looking forward to seeing the young Ralston again. Very proud of him we are. He's always been very good to me and his mother. Liberace James, they call him. The village. Every week he sends us money or a necklace or a ring or something.
That touches.
If that's another of your animals, dare I quit.
Animals don't ring bells. Go on, open the door.
Oh! Oh, good afternoon, Constable.
Good afternoon, sir. We have reasonably Sidney James here. He was seen proceeding in an eastly direction towards us.
What's this? You want Sidney? Oh, don't tell me he's got to go to court again.
Yes, he has, and we find him. He's wanted for a serious lead off the church roof, guard.
Lead off the church roof? Why do they have to bother him with petty criminals? I thought he only tried the big stuff.
Oh, no, it's just me, you'll try anything.
Look, it's my birthday. Don't someone go in his place?
Look, I think you better leave it to me, Jack. Officer, I'm afraid that Judge James is near.
Who?
I just say he's quite it, isn't expected today. Have you looked in his chambers?
If you mean Fred the Muse and our code, he ain't there.
Yes.
He isn't here. If we see him, we'll tell him you're looking for him. You'd better not. I'll be waiting outside the front gate.
Dear me, you'll be a judge, like a doctor, called at any time.
Hancock, is he gone?
How did you get in?
I climbed in the back window, quick, pull the curtain. Can't you keep out of trouble even for a fortnight?
It's not my fault, it's an old job. I did it last month. They didn't find out of it, it's gone till last night. The rent got in and threw the collecting plate out.
But as soon as the party's over, you can leave. Huh? Come on over here.
Now, Sidney.
Look who's here.
Hello, son.
Oh, go on, say hello to him.
Hello, Daddy.
Let me look at you, son. Oh, dear, oh, dear. 25 years. What have you done in all that time, son?
About 23.
Oh, I can't get over it. He looks just like his mother.
Oh, dear, a poor old lady.
How have you been keeping, son?
All right, Daddy. You?
Very well, very well.
How's Mummy?
Oh, fine. Oh, yes, she says, are you still facing your kind of an island boat?
Oh, no.
Oh, you should. Oh, you're a very naughty boy. You always were a delicate child.
Daddy, I'm 40 now.
It doesn't matter. The night here is no good to you.
The city is all he ever gets.
Yeah, well, let's get on with the tea, shall we? Here we are, Daddy. Here's a birthday present for you.
Oh, lovely. A pair of silver candlesticks.
Here,
they're
mine.
Shut up.
Oh, what a good boy you are. We've kept every present you ever sent us. Your mother will be pleased with me. I know very well with the ornamental clock.
That's where it went. You, got any Georgian silverware?
Yes.
Yes, I thought you might have.
4,000?
Yes, we got lots of odd pieces.
And so am I. We'll have to get together one day and make a set. Just a matter of interest. Have you got a television set?
No, no, I've always wanted one.
Still hide it.
Come on, what about the thing? Look, I brought a lovely birthday cake round for you.
Well, there's some poor baker around here, needs a front window. Oh, that is, and I paid for this. Edwardian Fred's missus made it.
Who's that?
That's Justice Edwardian Fred. His colleague of mine. Yeah. Let's sit down and see, shall we?
Wait a minute. Haven't you forgotten something, Sidney?
What?
Go and wash your hands.
No. Oh.
one of Sidney Tyson when he was nine. Ah, isn't that sweet? HMS Lollipop, isn't it? Stop a pink drive. Why don't...
Hello.
Here's one. Oh, ah. Oh, dear, on the rug. Oh,
even that trouble then, look at it.
It's my favorite. I said when he was 11 in the church choir. Oh, he's soprano, he was.
Oh, turn it up, Daddy.
Be quiet and eat your crust up. Angelic boy, wasn't he? Because favorite, wasn't your son? Always let him take the collection.
How is the old church these days?
It isn't. It closed down just after you left when the collection money disappeared.
Oh, it's a pity, but I've got to be going.
Oh, dear, have you?
Yeah, well, you know how it is. I've got a couple of heavy sentences to pass today. You know, another star.
Well, I think your policeman brings outside will drive you down there. They've got the car, I'll call them. He's over there.
Did I know it's his birthday, but you don't have to stuff the cake down his throat. Well, I'm off. I'll get out the back way.
See you tomorrow, Daddy.
Hancock, Buck, get the floorboards up. They're out the back as well.
Morning, Dad.
Morning, Mr. Kerr. Is Sidney home yet?
Yes, he came in at about 4 o'clock this morning.
He's under the floorboards now, I suppose.
Yes, he likes to go straight to his room when he comes in.
Judges didn't use the word like that in my day. Living under the floorboards all day, going out at midnight every night. Coming home at 4 o'clock and straight under the floor. Pass me that shoe.
Morning, son! Poor brother!
Strange place to work. He's been there 3 days now. Must be a very secret case he's working on.
Yeah, that's
it. That's his difficult to be saved down there. The heat stops.
The heat's on. That's why it's down there.
Morning, all. Good morning.
Orchard. Order.
Well, Mr. Phillips.
Yeah, it's in front of you.
Yes, it is. What, may I ask, are you going to eat it with? My fingers aren't quite the right shape for porridge, eggs and bacon. Go and get the cutlery.
There's none there.
Of course there's some there. I bought a new silver set last week. £30 that lot cost me.
I tell you, they're not there.
Dad, where's the cutlery?
How do I know?
Oh, never mind, never mind. We'll have toast and coffee. Anything in the papers?
No?
Oh, another bank robbery last night, that's all.
What's this about bank robbery?
Oh, nothing. It's the third bank robbery in 3 nights. Between midnight and 4 o'clock in the morning, to be still looking for the thief. £1,000 reward for any information leading to his capture.
Oh, dear. A lot of money. I wonder if Sidney knows who done them.
Yes, I wonder. I wouldn't worry about it, Doctor. You got your room and have a rest, eh?
Yes, Oh, dear. A lot of money.
Poor old man, he must never find out what a rogue he produced. Come on out. I want to have a word with you. Come on out.
What about the Rogers?
Never mind about them. Come on out.
No.
Well, move the little board and poke your head out then. I want to talk to you. What?
You cad. You veritable bounder. What a nerve. How dare you use my house as a base for your nefarious activities?
I don't know what you're talking about. If it wasn't for your dear old father, I'd turn you in the shop and collect the reward money.
Look, I won't pretend I hadn't intended to do it. I had it worked out for weeks. That's why I whipped the letter from the church to put down a deposit on the tools for the bank job. I had the plans worked out of a little black book for ages, and what happens? Each night I get down to the bank, look for half an hour on the door, and then I find it's already open. I go inside, use half a pound of jelly on the vault, and find their entry. I've been done all along the line. Somebody's working my territory.
You want to be ashamed of yourself.
I am. First time this has happened to me in 20 years of trading. Old established firm like me, I'm going to give it one more go. I've got one more bank on my list, the Northern Provincial. I'm going to do that one tonight.
You are not? I'm going to tell the police.
Oh, no, you won't. What about me poor old daddy? You'll kill him. You wouldn't want to do that, would you?
You fiend. You scurvy nerd.
Leave my house and never darken my floorboards again.
Oh, shut up. When I put the nice job up, I'll refurnish the old place out for you. or nail the board down, I'm going to kiss till zero later. And I'm not going to be messed about again tonight.
Oh, blimey, it's empty again. How are we going to break it to the poor old man?
Why, what's happened?
It's in the papers. Look, Sid got caught last night trying to rob the bank. The police were there waiting for him.
Well, what about the money? What happened to it?
I don't know. $80,000 taken from the four robberies. Sid said he didn't do it, but we know. He's hidden it somewhere. What are we going to tell the old man? He'll break his heart when he hears about this.
Well, he's got to find out sometime. Let's go in and get it over with.
All right. Knock on his door. He'll probably still be in bed. James?
Oi,
are you awake?
Yes, certainly, sir. I won't be long. It'll be 9,998. 79,999. 80,000.
Oh, the band is up near our door. Of course. What I'd like to know is, how did the police know Sid was going to be there last night?
Oh, somebody tipped him off to collect the £1,000 reward.
Of course. 999. 1,000. All right, you can come in now.
Mr. James, I don't quite know how to tell you this, but hello, you're packed dinner, are you? You going?
Yes, going back to the wife. There's no point in stopping now. Sydney's not here. I've got my taxi waiting outside.
Well, I'm sorry you're going. It's been very nice meeting you. And we'll carry your bags out for you. Just get in the taxi and leave it to us, eh?
Oh,
yes.
Oh, that is nice. Oh, I never expected that.
15 cabin trucks, 8 suitcases, 5 sacks and a Gladstone bag.
And this stuff out of the living room.
Oh, the 7 big wooden crates. Yes, there, here you are. You only have the 1 suitcase when you arrive.
Yes, well, I bought a few presents for the wife and some firewood for the festive season.
Yes, yes, of course. Breaks the heart, doesn't it, really?
Bill, it's not a change, isn't
it? Why, what do you want?
Well, our kid's gone. He'll be a bit short. I expect the least we can do is to see him. All right, for a few quid, you know.
Oh, yeah, sure. I've only got a couple here.
That's all right. That'll do. I've got a few.
Mr. James?
Yes?
Here you are. Looking for a little something for yourself.
You know, keep it going through the winter. Ah, 100 weight of coal, or something.
I don't know what to say.
No.
Oh, thank
you.
Martha,
good good of you. And now
an old man, not forgotten. Thank you very much. Well, the taxi's waiting. I'd better go.
Goodbye.
There he goes. What a wonderful old man.
Off of the air. I'm glad we've known him.
Ah, well, let's go back in.
Yeah.
What a grand old man.
Ah, well, let's have some dinner.
No cutlery, remember?
Oh, well, let's have some coffee.
No coffee pot.
Oh, well, we'll just sit and watch the show.
Hello.
What?
No Terry.
Look, Bob.
What?
The house has been completely shipped. The living room empty. The lounge shipped naked.
Oh, no. Bill. He's been taken for a pair of dead mustaches.
Of course you know what's happened. It's as plain as a skin on your head. Why didn't I see it? What a couple of idiots.
That old man.
What? When we were packing all his luggage, somebody sneaked in and robbed that. Well, that's all the lousy luck.
I know. No. Can't confess him. With all the people worth up yourself. Take that poor old man out there. He's got nothing. My heart bleeds for him.
We'll invite him down again when we've finished the place out, of course. Oh, well.
Let's go to bed.
No bed.
Well, there's only one thing for it. Get the floorboards up.
Barbara, with Bernie Hancock, Bill Kerr, Sidney Jay, and Kenneth Williams. Incidental music was composed by Wally Stott and recorded by the BBC Augmented Review Orchestra, conducted by Harry Rabinovich. The script was written by Ray Dalton and Alan Simpson, and the program which was recorded was produced by Dennis Lane Wilson.
You have been listening to the Comedy Corner here on Coast Access Radio 104.7 FM. That was an episode of Hancock's Half Hour, entitled Sid James's Dad. That's all for this week, folks, so I'll speak to you again next week. This is Greg Stevens saying, keep smiling.
We've got some off-price cracked ice, and miles of carpet tiles, TVs, deep freezing, David Bowie LPs, pool games, gold chains, wuss names, and Oedipus, and Trevor Francis track suits from a mush and shepherd's bush. Bush, 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 bush. No income tax, no VAT, no money back, no guarantee. Black or white, rich or poor, we'll cut prices at a straw. God bless Hooky Street, viva Hooky Street, long live Hooky Street, same magnifique Hooky Street, magnifique.
This program is made with assistance from New Zealand On Air for radio broadcast and through the accessmedia.nz website. Thank you, New Zealand On Air.